Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. We'll be considering this evening verses 40 through 45. And once again, I am not going to finish preaching through this passage. I just keep finding more and more as I dig. It's interesting, when I went to seminary, Dr. Kinnear, our exegesis professor, some of you know him from Presbytery, he said, you know, it's unfortunate that most people think that Paul was the first to begin writing theology. Everything that Paul wrote about, Christ had already proclaimed. As we go through the Gospels, as we go through the different Gospel accounts, all of the theology that Paul preaches and teaches through his pastoral letters, his epistles, Christ put forth and displayed to us in his Gospels. So there was no new theology when Paul arrived on the scene. And so I think we're going to find some of that tonight as we consider this this parable of the leper. So Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And there came unto him a leper, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him and forthwith sent him away and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Show thyself unto the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. May he add his blessing to it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet, a light for our path. We thank you that it shines brightest in the darkest places. And we thank you that, Lord, although all creation testifies to your goodness, your power, your might, yet it is your word, your gospel, preached, proclaimed, read, and sung, that brings life. So, Father, we thank you for it, and we pray that this word would be preached now faithfully. Father, would you bless it? Lord, would seed be scattered? And, Father, as it is scattered, we know that it is you alone that must give the increase. So, Father, we pray that you would, and we pray, Lord, that you would prick our hearts, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And we ask this all in the name of our Jesus, the one who is willing. Amen. We just finished with Christ praying, the priority of prayer, as he went out to preach, do his Father's business, and begin his public ministry. And as we noted when we began our exposition of the Gospel of Mark, the key verse for this account is found in chapter 10, verse 45. You remember it says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This verse, this apex, this crowning moment in the Gospel captures for us the dual themes of this book, this gospel account. First of all, we see Christ's service, which occupies the bulk of the Gospel of Mark. Secondly, we see Christ's sacrifice, which closes and concludes the book for us. And it is with these two main themes we see run throughout the book. Mark's gospel is preeminently a book concerned with Christ's servitude and has a great deal to do with his miracles and ministry. In fact, it records more of Christ's miracles than his sermons. Now, before you panic, before you bring me up on charges. Although it is a book primarily concerned with his service and his miracles, this does not mean that the Gospel of Mark is not a book of teaching. It does not mean that it is not a book about Christ's theology, about his doctrine, about his gospel. Quite the contrary. All of Christ's miracles are parables which visibly portray the effects of his Spirit's work upon and among mankind. For instance, as one scholar said, his healing the blind portrayed his illumination of our darkened hearts. His calming of the storm told us of his power to bring peace to our troubled hearts. His raising of the dead proclaimed his life-giving power and ability to bring us forth from the tomb. His feeding of the 5,000 testified to the fact that he is the manna from heaven, the true bread of life. And so this book contains untold depths of spiritual teaching that we must continue to plumb and search. And as we recognize then that Christ's miracles, in a sense, are in fact parables, we must note that this leprosy, this parable of the leper, was especially symbolic of sin. And we're going to learn that the healing of it is going to teach us about the deliverance from sin. As one Greek scholar wrote, though the leper was not worse or guiltier than his fellow countrymen, he was nevertheless a living parable of sin, an outward visible sign of innermost spiritual corruption. Beloved, the nature of leprosy, with its insidious beginnings, its slow progress, its destructive power, and ultimately the ruin that it brings, it drives us, it paints a picture, it shows us that this is a most powerful symbol of moral depravity. And so as we approach this passage, we again find our Jesus, our Christ, in a familiar setting. The crowds have increasingly grown close to Christ. The crowds are coming. The news of his ministry, the preaching of his gospel is drawing people, and they are closing in upon our Christ. And last time we focused on our Lord and how he was engaged in prayer, how he was seeking his Father, and how this was the context and priority of his ministry. Our Jesus has a ministry that was bathed and fashioned through prayer. But almost immediately, he was pushed once again back into service. The crowds were looking for him. The people were asking for him. Those who needed healing were coming. And so once again, our Jesus takes up the task of doing his Father's will. And so here we are at the beginning of Christ's public ministry. We see him preaching the gospel, proclaiming that the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe. We hear the proclamation of the word. We see him beginning to perform those miracles by which he attested that he is indeed the Son of the living God. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who has been anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the Messiah that God has sent to redeem his people. And so as we come to this passage, we look in verse 40 and we see, and there came unto him a leper. Now first tonight, I would like to speak to you of the leper's condition. The leper's condition. We find that our leper is a needy man. He presses his way through what Matthew says is a multitude, a crowd, a large gathering of people. Once again, our Lord has been preaching the gospel. Our Lord has been performing various miracles, casting out demons, healing the sick, when all of a sudden a leper approaches and comes unto him. Imagine the crowd around our Lord Jesus Christ, the multitudes that have gathered to come and sit at his feet, hear his message, possibly themselves to be healed. They have come. They have heard. There is good news. And from the back of the crowd, there's a cry. A cry is being heard. And the crowd parts as the waves before the bow of a ship. And what is this cry? The leper cries out, "Unclean, unclean," as he makes his way through the multitudes to where our Lord is speaking and doing his Father's will. And beloved, we have to pause because this is unusual. This is something that hasn't happened. This is something that is totally unexpected and against all the laws of the Jews. It is against all the expectations of the people who are there. Lepers do not do this. Lepers are not to come into the presence of those who are clean. And so although we may not have the same sense of it, even as we approach the beginning of this, we need to understand something disturbingly unusual is going on here. This leper is coming to Christ. This man, this leper is on a mission. And he has good reason. He's a leper. That is the first in this desperate condition. As a Jewish leper, he was a social outcast. As a Jewish leper, he is a physical outcast. Beloved, as a Jewish leper, he is a religious outcast. And beloved, he was on the periphery of society. A leper is not allowed to enter into intercourse or dialogue with those around him, those about him. A leper is cut off from all the temporal services and sacrifices. He was considered religiously, socially unclean. This leper is possessed of an incurable disease that makes him abhorrent in the sight of men. And as a result of the disease that is eating away at his body, he is alienated, he is exiled, he is cut off, he is cast off from his own people. Do you understand what this means to be a leper? To be alienated, exiled from your own people, but more importantly, from all the privileges of worshiping the true and living God. Beloved, he was untouched and he was untouchable. And as he went about, he would have had to cry out to those around him, "Unclean, unclean." I want you to consider what this means. The people would hear him coming and they would scatter abroad before he came too close. Beloved, his condition was disgusting. Everything about this suggests that this was genuine leprosy, a disease that has been described as a painless, living hell, a rotting away of the flesh bit by bit, inch by inch, his hair rotting, his nails rotting, his teeth rotting, his skin, his flesh rotting, all rotting, crumbling. Beloved, this leper would have been repulsive to look at. This man would have genuinely been abhorrent for us to behold. Now, let alone just get away from the physical aspect, but think about their religious sensibilities. These are the Jews. Remember, Peter had a hard time eating pork. It took the Lord 3 times to convince him. Now, imagine the Jewish crowds, and this leper comes walking up on the scene, screaming, "Unclean, unclean." Beloved, everything about him was corrupted. His entire being was putrid. His entire being is rotting, decaying, repugnant, rancid. Do you get the idea of the entirety of the corruption and loathsomeness of this man? Beloved, leprosy is a deep-rooted disease. And Luke said that this man was full of leprosy. This wasn't a man with a few clumps of hair that were discolored. This wasn't a man with a few scratches or even a few boils. This was a man that was full of leprosy, and his whole body ravaged, corrupted, destroyed by this disease. This rottenness was deep into his flesh, deep into his bones. He had no part of his entire being, no part of his system, of his body that was untouched, afflicted by this disease. And ultimately, beloved, this leprosy is deadly. This is a form of living death. He might have been moving. He might have been breathing. But he was in fact dead while he was alive. And he would only find healing by the very hand of God. And so with his flesh falling away from his bones, with this incurable disease that he would eventually succumb to and die, there would be no hope for this man in the time and place in which he was born. He's slowly dying, a repulsive death. He's desperate. He's disgusting. This leprosy is deep-rooted and deadly. And yet this is the man's defining feature. This is what we know of this man. He is a leper. But beloved, is this not us as well? Leprosy is an accurate picture of the sinner's spiritual condition. Leprosy is desperate, and so is sin. Beloved, we are by nature unclean. Is there anyone among us who cannot say unclean, unclean? Is there anyone among us who cannot say idolater, adulterer, immoral, pagan, God-hater? Is there anyone among us who cannot cry unclean? Is there anyone among us who would like to have their thoughts, their thought life, their heart placed upon a screen for all the church to see? Is there anyone among us, if God was to count and number iniquity, that we could stand? Beloved, do you see the picture here? Leprosy is desperate, and this paints a picture about the desperate nature of sin. We are by nature unclean. We are, because of Adam, we are, because of our own sin, cut off from God, cut off from the people of God, because of our sin. We are exiled from all good. We are alienated from all happiness. We cannot enter truly into the worship of God or the fellowship of His saints because of our sin. Beloved, we were lepers. This is who we were. This is where Paul is going to get Romans 3. This is who we are. A disease that ravages our entire being. A disease that cuts us off from the worship of God. A disease that does not allow us into the fellowship and the communion of the saints. And so we see the picture that the gospel writer is painting for us here. There is no disease in the ancient world or from our present society that so graphically pictures and portrays the hideousness of sin as does leprosy. And so I have one question for you this evening. Do you understand yourself to be a leper? Do you understand yourself to be unclean? Do you understand that your sin cuts you off, casts you out, separates you from the true and loving God? Do you understand that? So often we will pity people. And no doubt this man had pity. No doubt, like we heard the healing at the beautiful gate this morning, there might have been those to pity. But who have you ever considered yourself apart from the grace of God? I cannot walk, leap, and praise God. Apart from Christ kneeling down and taking me by the hand, I cannot run into His temple gates with praise and thanksgiving. Apart from the Master's touch, there is no healing. There is no forgiveness. And so I ask you, do you know that you're a leper? Because if you don't, then you've never felt the Master's touch. So often we want the good news. Beloved, without bad news, there is no good news. Without our understanding that we are unclean, without our understanding that we are morally, spiritually unclean, bankrupt, decaying, rotting, when we don't understand this, then we have no need of the great physician. There are many lepers in the church today. Not figuratively, not physically, but spiritually. There are many folks today who are rotting away in the pews. There are many people today, think about it, they're offended once. They've been cut. And rather than going to the healing balm of Gilead, rather than going to the offending brother, rather than making restitution and reconciliation, rather than asking for forgiveness, they let that wound fester. It's never healed. And it begins to boil and cause an infection. And it eats away at their very soul. I can't tell you how many bitter people you meet in the church. And it's leprosy. It eats away at their soul. Why does Christ tell us to pluck out and cast off? Because, beloved, this sin will eat your soul. This sin desires to have dominion over you. This sin, as Owen said, is about the business of killing you. And, beloved, it will. It will destroy you. But beloved, if you don't see that sin, if you don't recognize it for what it is, then you have no need of a great physician. You have no need of that healing balm. You have no need of that lamb. And so I would ask you, has the great physician touched your soul? Has the great physician renewed and healed your soul? Because, beloved, that's all it takes. One touch of grace. One application of the healing balm of Gilead. One hand from the Redeemer. But, beloved, this leper is under no false pretense. He knows that he is a leper. He's not self-deceived. He's under no delusion about any self-worth. Beloved, blessed indeed is he who has learned that he is a spiritual leper. Truly, we are blessed when we recognize that we are depraved. Truly, we are blessed when we recognize that we are wicked and we are sinful. Because to know our disease is one step closer to receiving the cure. It is the misery and ruin of many souls in the church of Jesus Christ that they have never yet seen their sin. It is so easy to grow up in the church and never realize the depravity of your own soul. It's easy to sit on the inside and see the sodomites. Yeah, we know they're sinners. Yeah, we see the homosexuals. We know that. We see the adulterers. But yet we never come to terms. We're never confronted with the reality of our own soul. And beloved, that's what we need. That's what we need. And beloved, until we see our sin and our desperate condition, we don't need that divine physician. Beloved, if there are spiritual lepers among us, we need to pray. We need to pray that God would convict them of that fact and their desperate need. And if such are convicted and desire to be healed, then we need to pray and come alongside them. And we believe that Christ will heal them. We know where there is a fountain. We know where there is living water. We know where there is a great physician. And beloved, we need to be more than willing to run with them, alongside them, carry them, pick them up if need be. We never tell people, we'll meet you halfway. Christ does not do that with us. He leaves the 99 and he goes and he gets the sheep. He says, I'm not going to meet you halfway. I will come get you. I will come and save you from the lion. I will come and kill the bear. I will come and be your defender, your rock, your shield. I will come to you. Beloved, we need to remember these things. And by the grace of God, when this happens, we'll see the power of Christ by changing lives. The power of Christ, the healing of Christ, manifested in sinners being brought to saving faith and repentance. Those, the proud and the haughty, being brought low. Those who were broken and wounded, being healed and restored. Beloved, who among us does not know someone in our own midst that is a spiritual leper? Someone who needs to go to that fountain. Someone who needs that divine healing. Someone that we need to pray that God Almighty would cleanse, wash, and heal them. Don't we all know somebody like that? Don't we? But secondly, I want you to notice that the leper comes. Notice in verse 40 that the leper is coming. The leper knows that he is a leper, and the leper runs to his Jesus. This is astounding in and of itself. Remember, lepers are forbidden to come close to non-lepers. They were actually confined, cut off, cast off by the very word of God. They were fenced off by the Mosaic law to live in isolation outside of town. Lepers were not allowed to have face-to-face contact, personal contact with any non-leprous person. No social contact, no physical contact. In fact, they lived in colonies unto themselves. And who put them there? God. If you turn in your Bibles in Leviticus chapter 13, it is God Himself that puts the leper out of the camp. Leviticus 13 verses 45 and 46. I'll just read them to you. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall be his habitation. Beloved, it's God that puts the leper out of the camp. Leviticus 13 makes that perfectly clear. But notice now, we see that this approach by this leper is so astonishing. He knows he's forbidden. He knows he's not supposed to come. But yet he's heard the news. He's heard the good news of Jesus' healing power. The news has reached this leper and all the way to his colony. The word on the street is that there is this man named Jesus of Nazareth. He's in Galilee and he has the power to heal. He's preaching the word of God. He's casting out demons. He's performing miracles. People are finding comfort and healing. I am going to see this Jesus. And hope, probably for the first time in this leper's life, hope enters his heart. And the level of expectation rose so high within him that this leper jumps to his feet and does the unthinkable. He leaves the isolated confines of his village. He walks into the populated town of Galilee, fighting his way, pressing through the crowds, caring not that he's having to cry out unclean, caring not that people are laughing, people are pointing, people are mocking, caring not, he is going to Christ. The leopard is coming to Christ. The leopard, for the first time in his heart, has hope. And he presses ahead. He presses through the crowds ahead to the very place where Jesus is standing. And he casts himself down. He throws himself down at Jesus' feet. This mass of rotting flesh. This horrible picture of what sin has done to this man. This horrible picture of the curse of Adam. This man throws himself at the feet of Jesus. And as he lays on the ground at the feet of Jesus, as he lays there in the midst of this crowd begging for mercy, you can just imagine that certainly the crowd that day was aghast. This man had crossed the line. You could no doubt imagine, as we see in other accounts in the gospel, some of the onlookers were probably saying, if this man were truly a prophet, he would know who was touching him. If this man were truly a prophet, he would know who and what manner of person is touching him. Beloved, we see this all throughout the sinners, all throughout the Gospels. You'll remember that parable, that passage in Luke, when the woman comes and throws herself at the foot of Jesus with tears on his feet. I'll just read it to you. It says, the Pharisee whom he had invited, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answered and said to him, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There's a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. When they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love me more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom you forgave more. And he said to him, you've rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loves much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Can you just hear the voices of the crowd? Who is this leper coming into our town? Who is this leper? And perhaps some of them have already received healing from Christ. Perhaps some of them have even believed. And beloved, I would just ask you, if a leper walked through the door right now, how would we receive them? And I'm not talking about a physical leper, I hope you understand. But if someone walks through that door, a drunkard, a prostitute, an adulterer, someone who is spiritually consumed with leprosy, how would we receive them? It's so easy for us to forget from what we've been saved. It's so easy for us to forget where we came from. It's so easy for us to forget the leprosy's still in there. It's still in there. So how would we respond? How do you respond when you meet someone for the first time? Do you see them as someone dying from this disease? Do you see them as someone who eventually, if they do not repent and receive that healing and restoration of their souls, eventually this disease will consume them? Do you see the compassion that the Lord has had on you and seek to extend it to those around you? Beloved, we've heard about two healings today. We're all trophies of grace. If you've been touched by the Master, if your legs have been strengthened so that you can come into the assembly of God, if the leprosy of your heart has been cleansed and you've been restored so that you can come to the table and have that union with Christ, do you extend that same hand to those around you? Or do you say like the Pharisee, God, I thank you that I'm not like that one? It's so easy to fall into that trap. But nevertheless, this leper has come into the very presence of God Himself, and come He did. And beloved, this is exactly what each and every one of us must do here today, spiritually before Christ. We must come to Christ. We must dare not care what others think. We must fight through the crowds. We must press on. We must come straight to Jesus. It is with the words of the great hymn that we cry, "Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus, ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Let not your conscience make you linger, nor fitless fondly dreamed. All the fitness He requireth is to fill your need of Him. Come, ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you are better, you will never come at all." Beloved, Christ bids you to come as you are. There is nothing that you can bring to Him that is of any worth or value. When you come to Him, you come as one who is leprous. You come as one who is diseased. You come as one who is rancid, one whose very prayers are an abomination. When you come to Christ, you have nothing to offer but your sin. But He still bids you to come. To come. To cast yourself at His feet. That is why He came. The Son of Man came to serve and to lay down His life. We bring nothing. What would we have to bring? We come to the table. His body was broken. His blood was spilt. Beloved, it's done. It's finished. But you must come. You must come to Christ and receive the 10,000 charms that He has. You must come to Christ and receive the forgiveness of your sins. Beloved, you must come to Christ. Because if we don't, we're cast off. We're shut out. And beloved, this is exactly what the leper is doing here. And this is exactly what we spiritually, every single one of us in this room, must do. You must arise and go to Jesus. Not just to church. Not just to VBS. Not just to Bible study. Not just to be with other lepers. Beloved, you must arise and within your heart go to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. This is the leper coming. And it pictures, it tells us, it teaches us that every single one of us must arise and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, beloved, I leave you with that tonight. Have you felt the Master's touch? Have you felt that hand stretched forth and cleansed you? Have you felt the healing hand upon your shoulder that picks you up and carries you into the very presence of God? And if you have you forgotten? It's so easy for the embers of our heart to grow cold and dull. And that's why the Puritans teach us, for every look at ourselves, we must take 10 looks to Christ, because we will either become prideful and vain, or we will fall into despair and doubt. That's it. For every look I look at my own heart, I must run to Christ and take 10 looks. Beloved, do not forget, this is our story. This is who we were. This is who we are. But as we're going to look at next time, we serve a Jesus that if we come to Him, if we cast ourselves down at His feet, recognizing who I am, a leper, a sinner, one that is cast off and cut off from the very presence of God, and if we recognize Him, that He is able to forgive. He is able to satisfy. He is able to cleanse. He is willing. Beloved, this is your Jesus. This is our Jesus. He is willing to make us clean. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for our Christ. Thank You so much that He came to show us what it means to serve, to give His life as a ransom for many. Lord Jesus, all we can do is praise You. That's all we have to offer is our praises. Father, would You apply this word to our hearts? Would we remember that we were too once cut off, alienated, and cast out of Your presence? But because of our Jesus, because of the love that He has for us, we have been made clean. Would we never forget our first love? Would we never forget what it means to be clean? We thank You, and we ask all this in the name of our Jesus. Amen.